The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Kephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. In today's first reading, Samuel has no clue that it's the Lord who calls him. He thinks it's Eli. Again and again, he thinks Eli is calling him by name. But imagine waking in the middle of the night, hearing someone calling your name. Of course, your immediate reaction is like, oh, it must be the single other person in this building calling my name. So it makes sense that Samuel is confused and thinks Eli is doing it. But there's a few more reasons that Samuel wouldn't immediately suspect that it's the Lord calling his name. One, Samuel is young. He doesn't have the same experience of understanding God's calls as Eli does. And two, as the scripture tells us, Samuel isn't as close to the Lord as Eli. And so as Samuel is trying to discern what all this means, it's his conversation with Eli, somebody more spiritually mature, that helps bring about clarity to this call from God. The Lord is calling each one of us too. He calls us to great things. He calls us first to sanctity, to holiness, to life with him forever in heaven. But he also calls us to different states in life. He has called me, he's called Father Ricky, he's called Monsignor to the priesthood, and right now he's also calling Deacon Joseph on a transitional way towards the priesthood. And he even calls Deacon Jay to the diaconate. And each of you here, most of you here, not each of you, but most of you here, he's called to holy matrimony. And he has called countless wonderful souls throughout history to religious life as a sister or a brother. He is always calling us to something great. And still today, he calls to us more, even beyond our particular vocations. He calls us daily to follow him like Andrew and the other disciple. He calls us to imitate him as best we can, to love one another as he has loved us. He calls us to live out our God-given vocation to the best of our ability. But I do need to mention a very specific need of the church that has to do with calls. Vocare is the Latin word for to call. And so vocation is where we get that vocare, vocation. So a vocation itself is a calling, is the calling. And I do need to mention very specifically the need of the church for more priests. Back in the 1950s, when the church in LA was much smaller and we had more clergy, we had about one priest for every 1,000 Catholics there were. And from what I gather from the older clergy, because I wasn't alive back then, there was still far too few clergy to adequately serve the needs of the faithful. And since then, the numbers have gotten even worse. It's now roughly one priest for every 4,000 Catholics. And there's just not nearly enough priests to cover the needs of all the faithful in Los Angeles. I don't mention these stats to bring our spirits down, but I mention them as a reminder that we need to pray that more young men can listen with an open heart to the call of the Lord, like Samuel in the first reading today. We need to pray that more young men will be open and willing to seek the Lord like Andrew and the disciple in the gospel today. We need to pray for more vocations, not just for the church in LA, but for the global church. We need men willing to give up everything to follow Christ in the priesthood. But the thing is that these men don't just drop out of the sky. There aren't storks coming from the Vatican to just drop priests all over the globe like there is some sort of thing to just be distributed. No, these men come from our own families. They're your sons, your grandsons, your brothers, your uncles. At another parish I was serving at before I became a priest, I was chatting with some of the young men about priesthood after Mass one morning. It was a great conversation. But then, after they went back to sit with their families, I had one of their moms come up to me almost immediately after and scold me. She said very seriously, and she was not joking at all, she said, "No, you cannot have him for the priesthood. Don't talk to him about priesthood. You stay away from him about priesthood. I want grandkids." It's funny, but this sort of attitude and closed heart is not from God. It's born of pride and fear. The thing is, though, that mom wouldn't be losing grandkids like she's afraid she would. She'd be gaining a billion spiritual grandchildren that she's obliged to pray for on a daily basis. She wouldn't be losing a son, but she'd be gaining a priest. I don't know if you've had, any of you have had the wonderful experience of being at the first Mass of a newly ordained priest. But there's this beautiful part, a special part for the parents at the first Mass. They're called up to the front where they meet their son after he's just offered the holy sacrifice. And each parent receives a special gift from his father, who he learned of justice and mercy as a child. And so to his father, the priest gives the stole he used for his first confession, where he dispensed God's mercy to God's people. And to his mother, he gives the maniturgium. This is a special cloth that's used at the ordination to wipe off the sacred chrism from the priest's hands after they've just been anointed by the bishop. He gives this special cloth to his mom. He gives it to her because when she passes, his mom's buried with it. So that when she stands before God and he asks her to give an account of her life, all she does is hands him this maniturgium, this cloth, with still dripping with the sacred oils that were used on the day of her son's ordination. She hands it to God and says, "I gave you my son." My brothers and sisters, the church is hurting for vocations, not just to the priesthood. Even the numbers of women religious have declined drastically over the last 50 years, 60 years. At its height, there was almost 5,000 women religious in the LA Archdiocese. Today, we got maybe 500, if that. These men and women come from somewhere. They come from our families. It's important that we pray that we are for an open heart, not just for these young men and women to discern their vocations, their call from God, but that we also pray for our hearts, that they're open, that they might be our own children and grandchildren, our own brothers and sisters that are called to serve the Lord in a very specific way, in a way that is completely set apart to dedicate their lives to Him. My brothers and sisters, pray for vocations.